Well, hallelujah, saints. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it marvelous to be here?
Amen.
Under the heavenly light,
hallelujah.
Under the dispensing of His Word,
amen.
And gathered with all the people of God. Right.
Amen.
This is a blessed place,
amen.
And it's a blessed thing that we can participate in. Thank the Lord. Well, can I ask a simple question? And I hope you all got a simple answer. Raise your hand if you brought your Bible tonight. Ah, wow, wonderful, wonderful. Look at all those Bibles, right? You know, I'll tell you this little story. You know, when my wife and I first moved to Denton, Texas, we invited two students over. Things were very small. Now it's very hard to invite two students over. But anyway, we invited two students over. Just my wife and I don't think we even had any kids yet. We were still in an apartment right next to campus. And so we invited them over. They didn't know who we were. We were just getting to know them. Things were very small. And so then we ate dinner together, all four of us. And then I said, well, hey, you want to sing a song?
Amen.
Well, they didn't say that. You know, they just kind of looked at me, and I said, "Oh, I got a hymn book." And so I went in our bedroom, pulled out the hymn book, and brought it out, and I said, "Hey, why don't we sing da 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 da?" So we sang the song. We had a marvelous time, and they just entered in. They were happy to do that. They joined us, and I believe there was some dispensing there. Anyway, about 2 weeks later, I was in this guy's dorm room, and he mentioned to me. He said, "You know, you have a hymn book." And I said, "Yeah, that's mine." And he said, "Really?" He said, "I thought you stole that from the back of the pew." Because if you've been raised in common Christian circles, you don't own a hymn book. I don't think most people do, right? And it's provided for you, right? So when you show up, it's at the back of the pew, and you pull it out, and you know they tell you what to sing, and you sing it. So this guy, he thought I stole the hymn book. No, I don't steal the hymn book, right? No, actually, I told him, "Oh, sir, it's like you got to have two things. You got to have a Bible, and you got to have a hymn book."
Amen.
Right? Don't just try to sing when you're with others in a congregational kind of way. Oh, there's a marvelous way to touch the Lord, and that is singing, even if it's just you.
Amen.
Or if even if it's just four in a living room. It's awesome. So anyway, I'm very encouraged by you all. Wow, hold up the hands again. How many Bibles? Oh, this is awesome. Awesome, right? Yeah. Amen. Wonderful. Because what we want to do is we want to look at Ephesians 3. And, okay. Now, I appreciated what Tom Little shared this morning. What did he say about Ephesians chapter 3? Downtown God's economy, right? Right? Downtown means that's the center, right? Or another way of saying it, you know, the Bible has how many books? 66 books. How many books in the Old Testament? 39, right? How many in the New? 27. Total? 66, right. Okay, so that's a lot, right? That's a big book. Well, Lord, what's the heart? What's the heart of these 66 books, right? You know, the heart is the pulsating factor, right? Right? Sawyer, can you live without your thumb?
Yeah.
You can even live without an arm, right? I met a guy one time. He cut trees, and he accidentally cut his arm. So he was a one arm man, right? But can you live without your heart? Wow. It is the pulsating factor of your entire being. Oh, I love my heart. Right? I hope you all take care of your heart. Eat healthy. Right, Brandon? So you can live long. Right? You want to live long for the Lord Jesus. Well, what is the heart of the Bible? Right? There's actually, we often have this expression, the heart of the divine revelation. Right? The entire Bible is a divine revelation. But there's the heart of the divine revelation, which is really four books. What are they? Can you tell me? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, right? Okay. So now we can also talk about the heart of the heart. Right? What's the heart of this, of the heart of the divine revelation? It's really the book of Ephesians. Why? Because in this book you see a revelation of the mystery which has been hidden in God from eternity past. Amen. Do you like a mystery, Cody? Brother, this is the best mystery. Right? You know, I like to tell people, you know what the best television is? Right? Daniel, do you know what the best television is? Oh, brother. It is the best TV is the Bible. It's the B-I-B-L-E, right? It will televise a vision right into your being.
Amen.
And that's what the book of Ephesians is all about.
Amen.
It is a revelation of the mystery of God's will, right? It is a marvelous revelation. So, but even in this book, in the book of Ephesians, there's a heart. So it's the heart of the heart of the heart. And what chapter is that?
Chapter 3,
right? Where are we tonight? We're in chapter 3, right? And so I was really hoping you all would bring your Bible. I meant to announce it and I forgot. Because we're going to cover this outline, I hope in a very good way. But I want you to see it in the Word. I want you to see the unveiling of this revelation in the Word directly, right? I think that's very important. Okay, so why don't we just read... Why don't we read together Ephesians 3, why don't we do it this way, sisters 3, brothers 4, and we'll just read 3 through 6. So we'll start with, who did I say first, sorry?
Sisters.
Sisters first, then the brothers, sisters and brothers. Okay, sisters, 3. Amen.
That in Christ Jesus the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise through the gospel.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, so to help us, why don't we read, I'll just read to you Roman numeral 1. That's basically what this part of the outline is pulling from these verses. Okay, but why don't we all together first read the subtitle to tonight's message. Okay, experiencing Christ for the building up of the church, right? Okay, so we've been seeing night after night in this evening line the revelation of the mystery, right? We saw it in chapter 1, and it's very clear in chapter 1 that this revelation is unto an economy. God has purposed in himself, a will. God has a good pleasure, and he purposed a will according to that good pleasure. Unto an arrangement, unto an economy. We'll get into this word a little bit more later tonight. To an age, the fullness of the times, the fullness of all the ages, where all things are headed up in Christ. Where does this heading up begin? In the church. In the church, right? It's done by the dispensing of life, right? That's the revelation in chapter 1. Last night we saw mainly what? And you can look, it's open book. The titles always tell you. The titles always tell you. It's a revelation of what? Yeah, you want to pick up the utterance, though, of the title. I mean, that's one of the key words. But as, say it again, brother.
The vision of the new man.
It's the vision of the new man as the masterpiece of God.
Amen.
Right? You know. You know, I love that utterance, Ephesians 2:10. We are the master pieces. Ah, you're sharp, right? The we is plural, but the noun, the masterpiece, is singular. What does that tell you? It's one masterpiece. It means it's corporate. It's a collective aggregate of all of God's people. This is part of the revelation of the divine mystery, right? Okay, now in chapter 3, okay, in chapter 3, and we'll get into this, is a full unveiling. It's very unique. A full unveiling, not merely of what God's purpose is, but I'd say even more detailed than that, how He will fulfill it. How God will carry out this purpose, right? So maybe to help us, hopefully this will be a help, I think it's fair to say there's a lot of big words in Ephesians, okay? And why don't we, let's see. Okay. And many of these words are actually repeated. I don't know if I should move this or not. Okay. Yeah, awesome. No, thanks, Ken. Okay. So in chapter 1, it's actually two times in chapter 1, you have this term. Good pleasure. All right? It's God's good pleasure. What does that mean? All right. Jacob? Yeah. Jacob? Jacob, do you have a good pleasure? What's a good pleasure? What does that mean?
What makes me happy.
Ah, it's what makes you happy. God has a good pleasure. There's something in the heart of God that makes Him happy. Right? And so then according to this good pleasure, you know what He did? He made a will. He had an intention. A will. An intention. And in Ephesians 1:9, it actually says this. Let me just read it to you. Many of you actually have it by memory. Making known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. The mystery of this will is according to His good pleasure, which He purposed. This will, you know, sometimes we have a will. Hey, I'm going to college. I'm going to get a mechanical engineering degree. Well, then you might hit some bumps. You run into calculus. One, right? Then you might sweat it through, and oh, I got that through. Then they throw another one at you, calculus 2. Then there's something called linear algebra, right? I never had it. I studied plants and biology, right? Genetics. Then they throw, there's something else. What is it, Tom? You're an engineer. Differential equations. What happens to your will? You might decide that's not my good pleasure anymore. And you have a change in your good pleasure. Did God have a change?
No.
Did He run into some roadblocks?
Yes.
Yes, He did. Yes, He did. The angel, His top angel, rebelled. But what did He do with His will? What does Ephesians 1:9 tell us about His will? He purposed. He purposed. That means He galvanized this will. It's, you cannot move God from His purpose. It's a determined intention. Will He fulfill it?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He'll fulfill it. We can rest in that. We can have confidence in that. Even when you fail. Even when I fail. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank You. You purposed. right? He purposed. Okay, all these words are used even multiple times in Ephesians. Big terms. They're marvelous terms. But I think it's good to see them in an order, right? You don't want them just all jumbled up, right? It's terrible, right? One brother told me, he says, words matter. Words mean something. Every word has meaning to it. Amen. So you want to know every one of these words and know how they relate to one another. Right? It's amazing. His whole purpose started where? In the pleasure of God's heart. Wow. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet, Scott? Oh, amen. Even I get mad at my wife, I got to fall back. You know, she chose me in love. There were other brothers out there. I know there were. But she chose me in love. Right? So it's okay. It's okay. You fail God. It's okay. He chose you in love. Amen. And he has a determined purpose. Well, there's another big word in Ephesians. And that is this word, economy. Okay? It's actually used 9 times in the New Testament. Maybe you could say it's one of the most critical words in the New Testament. But not so easy to understand. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, economy. Okay, you know, we use this word in English. It actually is what they call, and I'm no language person, but from what I understand, it is basically a transliteration of the Greek. The Greek is basically, who knows Greek here really well, much better than, some of those FTT graduates in here. Graduates? Ah, thank you, brother. Amen. Oikonomia, right? It's a compound word. I love compound words because you can break them apart, right? And simplify them, right? And this word, oikonomia, oko, and then nomia, right? I'll just break it apart in English. So I won't write it in Greek because I don't know Greek. But the first part of this word refers to house. I'm not going to write it there. You can write it. Okay. It refers to a house, a household dwelling, right? That's the first part, right? Then oikonomia, right, brother? Nomos is the second part of this compound word, and that means like a law. But it's not just a law as we think of a law. It's an arrangement. It's an administration. But this is a marvelous word, administration. Sometimes when you think of administration, you just think of a government and its authority. But administration means something is being administered. Something is being distributed. Something is being, in other words, dispensed. That's what this word means. Actually, the Greek word I looked up, they actually refer to this word, nomos, as parceling out. Parceling out. It's a distribution. And it even says mainly of food. Or even the Greek also has the thought of pasture. You are parceling out the pasture to the livestock. Amen. Right? Amen. This is oikonomia. God has an arrangement. He has a huge household, right? And it's full of riches. We're going to get into that. And what does he want to do? What is his plan? You know, a simple English word for economy is plan. But you got to understand what this word economy means. So don't substitute it strictly. You need to understand this Greek word to understand his plan. His plan is how he will accomplish his purpose. Right? He has a lot of riches, and he wants to distribute these riches, right? When these riches are dispensed, you know, something is produced. So the good pleasure, God had a good pleasure in his heart. What is that? It's the church. It's all of God's redeemed people. And he purposed to have that. And he had a plan to distribute himself. He's the commodity. He's distributing himself into man. And you know what that produces? Church.
Amen.
The church.
Amen.
It produces the body of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
There's no other way to produce the church.
Amen.
Right? This is the purpose. This is the intention. But you've got to have this. You've got to have the plan. You've got to have the economy. You've got to have the distribution. You've got to have the parceling out of all the riches into our being to produce the church.
Amen.
Right, right. You know, okay, so we'll drop back to these verses in Ephesians 3. And Paul says that by revelation, the mystery was made known to me. By revelation. I hope every one of you, I pray every one of you is getting a revelation this week.
Amen.
Oh, gain a revelation. You can't teach this. There's just no way to teach it, right, Dave? It has to be made known.
Amen.
By revelation.
Amen.
And I'd say revelation is like peeling an onion, right? You know, it has many layers. Listen, I see more clearly than I did yesterday.
Amen.
I see more clearly this year.
Amen.
Than I did last year.
Amen.
Isn't that true, Tom? The revelation. I hope you all get a good foundation this week.
Amen.
But keep coming. Keep going. All right? Training by training.
Amen.
Right? Meeting by meeting.
Amen.
Reading by reading.
Amen.
Exercise by exercise.
Amen.
Wow. That onion's just going to get unveiled.
Amen.
Unpeeled. And you're going to see more. You're going to touch more.
Amen.
You're going to live more.
Amen.
Right? Right. It's awesome. It's made known by revelation. Which in reading it, Paul does say though, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
Five is somewhat parenthetical, but which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, right? That's why it was hidden. As it has now been revealed, we've mentioned this, to his holy apostles and prophets, where?
In spirit.
In spirit, right? What's key to see this revelation?
In
spirit, right? Oh, I hope you all love your spirit, treasure your spirit. But the mystery of Christ is what? Verse 6 tells you that in Christ Jesus, what is the mystery of Christ? That in Christ Jesus, the Gentiles, the Gentiles, we found out about them last night. What happened to the Gentiles? They got joined to who? The Jews, to create one new man. But here Paul doesn't use the utterance one new man. That's chapter 2. But he does use this utterance. The Gentiles are to be fellow heirs. Wow. The Gentiles inherit with the Jews. And they're fellow members. Wow. You know, if we were a Gentile back then, we would be dancing. Because the Gentiles knew how ostracized they were. Right? I'll just use this word, ostracized, right? So to be joined to God's people was a tremendous blessing. Fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers. Wow, brother, you're a fellow partaker. Oh, hallelujah, brother. Amen. Isn't it good to enjoy the partaking?
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. We're fellow partakers.
Amen.
In other words, fellow, sounds like the church. What's the mystery of Christ? It's the church.
Amen.
Right, right. This is the revelation that was made known to Paul. This was the mystery that was hidden from the ages.
Amen.
Right? Thank you, Lord. Okay, now let's read Roman numeral 1, and then we'll go on to Roman numeral 2. Okay, sisters, read the Roman numeral.
Body of Christ, as the center of the earth, eternal life, and economy.
Mm-hmm. Brothers.
The church has the mystery of Christ, who was hidden in God, who created all things throughout the ages.
Sisters.
This mystery is hidden in God. The church was not made known to men in other generations.
Amen.
But has been revealed to the apostles and prophets in their spirit by the revelation in the New Testament age.
Marvelous. Brothers.
God's eternal purpose, according to the desire of his heart, is to have the church as the organic body of Christ for the manifestation of his multifarious wisdom.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Amen. Okay, so now we'll also look at Ephesians 3, 9, 10, and 11, just in a brief way. Okay. So Paul goes on to say in verse 9, he's been charged to enlighten all that they may see, here's that word again, the economy. Oh, economy. This distribution of riches. He wants to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is. It is a mystery. You know, I read in U.S. News and World Report, this was years ago, they had an article on how to raise up a church. Right? You want a church in your community? I read the article. I know, this is interesting. I serve full time. Right? I read the article. You know what the article said? This is very easy to raise up a church in your community. And you know what the key was, they said? This is U.S. News and World Report. It's an authority, right?
Yeah.
Not in the divine economy. They have no authority because they have no revelation. They said all you need is a good children's program. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, I just, done with the article. Trash. Like a hair. Trash. Trash, right? A good children's program. No. You know what? You need God's economy.
Amen.
You need a dispensing.
Amen.
You need an infusion.
Amen.
Of all the riches of Christ.
Amen.
And you need an enlightenment.
Right.
To know what it is. Man will never understand this. And man will never know how to produce it. It's not a choir. It's not a big budget. I met with this brother for, I don't know, maybe a year, year and a half. We met on campus. And he was in one of these large congregations. And oh, Lord Jesus. He met with me on campus a lot. He came to our home meeting very faithfully. And then I said one day, I said, you know, we got to know each other very well. And I says, brother, why don't you come meet with us on a Lord's Day morning? I think that'd be kind of cool. And and he said, well, you've never come to where I meet. Well, that was true. So I said, well, you never invited me. He says, well, I invite you this Sunday. And I said, okay. They had multiple hours, and so I picked an hour that wouldn't conflict with what we were doing. And so I went. And anyway, I can't get lost in this story. But we were there. I was there a full hour, hour and a half. And, I mean, it was huge. I mean, they had a choir that was almost as big as this, of this gathering. And they all had the robes. And they had the mega system, sound system. And, you know, there's the TV. You know, it goes to other places. He was actually in Hawaii at the time, or Washington. They didn't have Skype in those days. But anyway, they had a videotaped him in. And anyway, so then we get done. And so then the classic question comes. Well, Tom, well, what do you think? I mean, this guy was very connected. He was meeting with the pastor personally in small groups. They were grooming him to be a pastor. So he was very tied in. And he knew many people there. And so he asked me, well, we were walking back to my truck in the parking lot. He said, Tom, well, what do you think? And I said, well, you know, it was okay. I said, the you know, the choir's pretty good. And I told him one word. I said, you know, brother, it was very professional. Very professional. And it was. Very professional. And but I wasn't satisfied with my answer. But I didn't really, that's all I really, I didn't really have too much from the Lord yet. And about 3 days later, the Lord gave me another word. And so I came back and I said, you know, brother, I was rethinking your question. And I really feel I have another word I'd like to add. And that is, you know, if you want me just to be honest, you know, this is, it's a revelation. It's a mystery. And so much is dependent upon economy. If you don't see this, you have to substitute. You have to find substitutes for it. If you're going to have a large crowd, you have to find substitutes. And I'm sorry to say, there was many substitutes. There Saturday night, he told me a lot of things, was a secular movie. And then they would even stop the movie. And then the pastor would come in, they had a little spotlight on the pastor, and he had some comments. And then he would fade back out, and the movie would continue. And the music, the entertainment, right? I was meeting with one young brother, and he said, Tom, I gotta stop having a Bible study with you. I said, oh, really? And I says, yeah. I said, why is that? He said, I'm in too many. I says, oh, well, how many are you in? And he says, 5. And I said, oh, wow, that probably is too many. You are a student, and you need to take care of your studies. But can you help me a little bit more? Okay, you're cutting back, and I'm getting cut. Can you tell me why? I kind of liked him. And he says, well, you know. He said, the other one, they have a date auction. And I said, a date auction. A date auction. That's kind of what I said. I says, huh? They have a date auction. I don't know what that is. Can you help me some more? And tell me what a date auction. Oh, you know, he said, all the girls are on stage. And the guys are in the audience. And they're bidding on a date. I'll take her for $20. No, I'll take her for $30. How about $40? Sold. He had a date. That was a date auction. And then he told me, he said, well, the other group, that's one group. So he's sticking with that group. And then the other group, he said, he told me, we're going jet skiing. And you know, yeah, I know where you're going. He said, you know, all the girls are out there. You know, it's a lake. They're all out there in their swimsuits. I said, okay, I've heard enough. I said, that's fine. I got provoked, Dave. And I said, sir, I don't know if I said sir, but I said, okay, we are kind of a small club. And I said, as long as I'm here, I said, we will never have a date auction. I told him.
Yeah.
And I said, we will never go jet skiing. I said, I'll take my family jet skiing, and I have. But I have no interest and I have no need to see any of the sisters dressed that way. That will not help me and that will not help them. And so if that's what you're looking for, you will not find it here. Right? I don't want substitutes. I don't want substitutes. I want the economy of God.
Amen.
I want the dispensing of Christ
Amen.
Into my being.
Amen.
Because that is the only way to produce the church.
Amen.
There is no other way to produce the church. And you're going to see it. Right now I'm just making the statement. There is no other way, though, to produce the church. The church is not an organization. The church is not merely an assembly of people who call themselves Christians and may even be Christians. But that's not the church in its reality. Right? Okay, I got to take care of the verses. And to enlighten all, Paul says, what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that now to the rulers and authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Is the church important?
Amen.
Is the church critical?
Amen.
How will God display His wisdom even to the enemy? How will God have a great boast? A boast, Satan. You thought you had man. You thought you polluted man. You thought you got sin and death into man. Oh, but Satan, you don't know. That just provides opportunity for me, God, for, as God would say, to show my wisdom.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And not just wisdom in one facet, in one color. The Greek word here is multifarious. It's also, you can say, it's variegated. It's multicolored. More colors than in a rainbow. It's multifaceted. Right? Well, I bought the diamond for my wife as her engagement ring. My uncle was a jeweler. And so he said, Tom, come over and look at this thing underneath the microscope. Oh, wow. I had a lot more appreciation. I thought, why am I paying so much for this little? You can lose it if you're not careful. But underneath the microscope, you could see all the different cuts. It was amazing. That was multifaceted, multifarious. The church is a wise exhibition. I hope you all in your twos and threes had a good fellowship on each other's testimony. That's one way to see the multifarious wisdom of God.
Amen.
Right? This brother was saved. Well, you were already saved, right? Your dad's a missionary. But you met the brothers and sisters in Taiwan. He's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Go figure. And for some blessed reason, brother, I studied genetics. You studied language. Language is much more useful. He studied Chinese. And he's over there in Taiwan, right? And he ran into the saints.
Amen.
It's awesome. Awesome, right? Right? And I mean, we don't have time, but all the multifaceted stories of the saints, how they got brought to God, what they got brought through, what turned them to God. When I hear someone got saved, I'm always quick to ask, oh, well, tell me, how did that happen?
Right.
That wasn't just, a flicker in your experience. No, something led to that.
Amen.
There may have been, I know in my experience, I felt, Lord, you set me up. I was on a 7-year plan. It was to my recognition. Right? So I'm about 7, and I got saved when I was 13. But it was all a backdrop. Those 7 years prior to my salvation was a backdrop. So when I got saved, I realized how rich Christ was. Right? Anyway, multifaceted. That's just too much. So anyway, this just defeats, it just puts shame to the enemy.
Amen.
He said, oh, I thought I had this man, Jacob. Oh, and he slipped away.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan is, it's like a cockroach. He's got to get out of there. He can't stand the light. And then verse 11 says, okay, so this wisdom is made known through the church according to the eternal purpose of God. Was the church an afterthought?
No.
Was the church just a sidebar? Wow. The church is according to the eternal purpose
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
Right? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your purpose.
Amen.
Thank you for an eternal purpose.
Amen.
Okay, so that's the first half of Ephesians 3. It's mainly a revelation. of the mystery. But Paul, okay, hey, Paul, you got me sold. I want the church. I want to get there. How do I get there? It's not a children's program. It's not jet skis. It's none of that. So, Lord, Paul, so thank the Lord for the heart of the heart of the heart of the heart of the divine revelation. And that is Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Right? It's awesome. Aren't you glad you brought your Bible tonight? I hope you're seeing this in the Word, right? Right? The Bible you will carry with you. I wish we would carry these outlines. We had one brother among us, an older brother, a co-worker. He says, it always grieved him. He'll walk around after the meeting and he just collect outlines. Collect outlines. And he told me, he said something like this. He said, brother, we throw away more outlines than most people will ever see in their whole Christian life. We just leave it behind. All right? So, but hopefully you don't do that with your Bible. Right? I hope you collect these. I got a collection of, you know, I've been going to college conferences since I started serving full time, 1991. My folder, Dave, woo! But it's awesome. And I still refer to it. I've saved every outline since 1991. Right? And I made every conference twice a year. It's awesome. My onion's getting peeled. My onion's getting peeled, right? I told the brothers I've made my 50th college conference. Right? Amen. It's awesome. Revelation after revelation, right? I hope you never stop going. And when you get out of college, then just serve. Right? Right? You know, the first time I grew up and I met the saints in L.A., and the first time they had a young people's conference, so, you know, junior high and high school conference, was in the it was in the fall of 1979. I'm going to date myself here. It was in the fall of 1979, and I just graduated from high school in June of 1979. So I was a freshman in college. So I went to the brothers and said, "Oh, brothers, hey, can I sign up for the high school conference? I want to go. It was the first time." You know what they told me? They says, "Brother, what age are you? What grade are you?" "Well, I'm a freshman in college, right?" "Well, yeah. It's a high school conference." Oh, man, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. So you know what I did? I got on the high school service. I got on the high school service. And then I went to him for like 10 years in a row. It was awesome. Right? Under that divine dispensing. I got a lot of dispensing. Oh, it was tremendous. It was tremendous. Okay. So we want to look at the heart of the heart of the heart of the heart of the divine revelation. Okay. So to do that, let me just read a little bit to you. And we'll look at some key words in these verses. But yeah, Lord Jesus. How are we doing on time? Yeah. Okay, to do this, though, why don't we first take care of Roman numeral 2? Okay, we need to do that. Okay. Sisters, can you read the Roman numeral?
The key to the building up of the church is the inner experience of Christ.
Wow. Okay, pick up this thought, saints. The key, it's a master key to the building up of the church. Okay, so we're back to here. We're going to spend the whole rest of the time right here. The key to the building up of the church is the inner experience of Christ. Just hang on to that thought. We'll get into it. Okay, brothers, A.
Paul was a minister, not of the heart, but
oh,
of the
unsearchable
riches of Christ.
Wow. Okay, soak this up. Paul was a minister not of doctrines. He was not a theologian. He was not distributing information about God, a theological analysis, but he was distributing the unsearchable riches of Christ. Okay, now that may just kind of be a term. We'll get into this. Okay, whose turn is it on B? Sisters. Amen.
Such as light, light, righteousness, and holiness.
Oh,
what he has
Jesus.
For us, what he accomplished,
Jesus.
Attained, and obtained for us.
Wow. Okay. Now this is a mouthful, but it's awesome. Okay. The unsearchable and untraceable riches of Christ include what Christ is. Okay. You have to understand something. Our God is triune. And all that God is, all that God has, and all that God has accomplished for man, he put in Christ.
Amen.
And that is a divine and mystical statement, but it's the truth.
Amen.
Right? Even Ephesians 1:7 says, in him, in whom, which is Christ, according to the context, in whom we have redemption. Redemption is a reality only found in Christ. Outside of Christ, there is no redemption of man. Man cannot be forgiven of his sins outside of Christ. That's why every other religion also needs to go in the trash. All of what God has done is in Christ.
Amen.
Redemption is one, is just one of the riches. It's a marvelous riches. It's an eternal redemption, but it is only in Christ. All of what God is and has accomplished is found in Christ. You know, the Bible says, the mystery of God, Christ. It's Colossians 2:2. God is a mystery. You ever see him? I've never seen him, Dave. He's a mystery. But you know how you can find Christ? You know how you can find God?
In Christ.
In Christ, right? Christ declares God. Christ defines God. Christ exhibits God. Without Christ, Cody, I would never find God. I would never find God. God is in Christ. And all of his riches, his life, his light, his righteousness, his holiness is all in Christ. All that God has, God's wisdom, God's glory, God's righteousness, God's holiness is all found in Christ. All that Christ has accomplished, his redemption, his full salvation, his predestination, our glorification is all found in Christ.
Amen.
All that Christ has attained and obtained. I hope these aren't just words to you. Words mean something. Words matter, right? Attained is you have attained something. It's a status you've retained. And obtained is something you've received. Christ has been made Lord. Christ has been made head over all things, right? Christ is the ruler over all things. He's attained the lordship. And he is the anointed Christ, right? Anyway, all these things are the riches of Christ. And they're ours.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, right? We'll get into it. All we have to do is apply them. And we're going to see a little bit how to do that. But these are all the riches of Christ. Okay. The riches of Christ also include... This is C, Roman numeral 2C. The riches of Christ also include his experiences as a man. Very interesting. He went through human living, passed through death, and entered into resurrection as the forerunner of our salvation. You thought he just lived as a man. and that had nothing to do with you. But while all those experiences as a man, all of the unsearchable riches of Christ are now in the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen.
So you know what? This is very practical. And I'll tell you a case. I mentioned it. I do serve full-time. And I was out in front of a dormitory at UNT, University of North Texas, and I was waiting on these guys out in front of Kerr Hall, two guys. And I was going to bring them, I forget if it was a home meeting or just maybe our campus meeting, I don't remember. And I told them, I'll meet them at 6. I was there at 6. I was going to meet them outside, 6:05. So it was 6:10. 6:15, yeah, I call them, text them, no answer. And I was so excited about bringing them. I was so much looking forward to their coming. You know, it's not always so easy to bring somebody. Men are busy, people are occupied. But they told me they were coming. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Eventually about 6:25, something like that, I drive away. At first, I was disappointed. But then it's awesome. An unsearchable rich, how do I say this? One of the unsearchable riches of Christ came and got infused into me. We do have Christ as the life-giving Spirit. And as I was pulling away from that curb, I realized, Lord, you, you were stood up first. I was not the first one to be stood up. And I was so comforted, Andreas. I was so comforted. I drove away with a smile. I drove away with joy in my heart, Christine. I thought, hallelujah, I've entered into the feeling of Christ.
Amen.
The feeling of disappointment. The feeling of being stood up. Wasn't Christ stood up by man? He came as a man. He came as a babe. Can you come smaller than a babe? Can you come lower than a babe? And what did man put up? A no vacancy sign. No room in the inn. No room in the inn. He was stood up by his own creatures, by his own people. Right? He came to his own, but his own received him not. Anyway, my point is the unsearchable riches of Christ. They're real.
Amen.
And they are being dispensed. They are being parceled out. We just need to do something. And that's why we need Ephesians 3:14-21. Okay, so we'll read these. And well, I don't think I finished this. D, sisters. Roman numeral 2D. Yeah. So what are these? There's so many riches. I'm glad you're here when you're young. You have a long time, Jasper, to be constituted with the riches of Christ.
Amen.
Right? God's inheritance. What is it? The riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints.
Amen.
I hope you all, Charlie. So good. How old are you, Charlie? 17.
Yeah.
17, brother.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's awesome, brother. That's awesome. Such a young man. And you can begin this process of being constituted with the unsearchable. You know, unsearchable in Greek means untraceable. You can't find them all out. You can't live long enough. Before I got saved, I prayed, Lord, let me live to be 99 years. God, let me live to be 99 years old. I thought that's all I could get. I want to live a long life. But now I got a greater purpose. It's not a selfish reason. But I want to get constituted, Charlie, with all of the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
And when you put all that together, you know what you have? The church.
Amen.
The church. The church is just an aggregate of all of God's people constituted with these unsearchable riches. Okay. Lord. Are y'all doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Marvelous. Because we really haven't hit the heart of the heart of the heart of the heart yet. So I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're doing okay. Okay. Sweet. Okay. Okay, Father, for this cause, wow, Paul, you see why this is the heart of the heart of the heart of the heart. What is Paul doing? I bow my knees. Father, I bow my knees.
Wow. Amen.
May we all learn to bow our knees.
Amen.
Under the Father.
Amen.
He's the source of all. I hope you all enjoy this name. His name is the Lord Jesus, but His name is also Father.
Amen.
Oh, Father, bow your knee unto the Father. He's the source of all. He's the giver of all. He's the supplier to all. Father, it's all out of you. I have nothing if it's not from the Father. Paul had this realization. This is the triune God. It all starts with the Father. I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom every family in the heavens and on earth is named. That. Okay. Is this word a big word? That. Seems insignificant. That. That. Why is that important? That tells you why. I went to the store that I may get milk. In a sense, what's the most important word in that sentence? That. That tells you why. Okay, you went to the store. Well, a lot of people go to the store. Why did you go to the store? That I may get milk. I like milk. That's why I went to the store. Okay. Why did Paul bow his knees to the Father? That. He had a purpose. He had a reason. He knew this economy. He knew this plan. So he prayed, Father, I bow my knees unto you, that you,
Amen.
That you, Father,
Amen.
Would grant, see, give, grant, that you would, I gotta slow down. I bow my knees unto the Father, that he would grant you, the church in Ephesus, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. Strengthened.
Amen.
Strengthened where? Into, well, strengthened with power through His Spirit into the inner man.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Didn't you all enjoy the fellowship this morning? I love the fellowship this morning because it gave me a window into how to be strengthened into my inner man.
Amen.
I have an inner man, right? Swen, do you have an inner man? Yes, I know you have an inner man. Hallelujah, brother. But my inner man needs to be strengthened.
Amen.
I get drawn out of my inner man. I get distracted out of my inner man. I get pulled out of my inner man. And as the brothers shared this morning, I really appreciate it. What do we mainly live by? Our soul. My soul is so strong. If you don't believe it, just live a little longer. And get in a few more circumstances. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. You know. I don't know what... circumstances. But circumstances are an opportunity to be strengthened into the inner man. Right? You know, I really appreciate the brothers' fellowship on the conscience this morning, right? The brothers' fellowship, they told us, I don't need to repeat. Our inner man is our regenerated person. It is our human spirit regenerated and indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it is now, we have an inner man. There's a new part of us that's made alive, and it's our new person. There's a person living in us. But I need to be strengthened into that inner man. And I very much appreciate the brothers' fellowship on the conscience, because the conscience, you know, as the brothers shared, this is the leading part of our spirit. So if I don't take care of my conscience, wow, I can disrupt and damage my fellowship with God. Right? Right. You know, we mentioned this word means, this nomos, means a parceling out. It means a distribution of goods. Right? Food. God is dispensing. So we use this word a lot. God's dispensing. He's dispensing himself. He's dispensing these unsearchable riches. But something can disturb that dispensing. Something can disrupt it. And a simple way to disrupt it is a violation in my conscience. Right? You know, you might feel, wow, isn't that really elementary, Tom? To take care of your conscience? Isn't that very elementary? I'd say, yes. It's very elementary. But isn't eating elementary? How long have you been eating, brother? Since you were born. Congratulations. Right, right? I hope you take care of your conscience since the day you were saved to the day of your rapture. Amen. Yes, it is very elementary. But that's the problem. You might think you graduate and you might kind of brush things off. Right? I appreciate the utterance. You thrust away the feeling. May we never be past feeling. Amen. We be very sensitive, right, in our conscience to all kinds of things. All kinds of things. What about our language? Right? What about words that come out of our mouth? Do you ever confess, Lord, forgive me of my vocabulary? It's foul. You know that's in the Bible? Foul, abusive language. Oh, Lord Jesus, cleanse me. Cleanse me from my foul, abusive. It's foul because it dirties people. It's abusive because it offends people. Lord, cleanse me in my conscience from my foul, abusive language. Right? What about, you know, it's not easy living with people. Right? I told you my story the other day. Right? And some of you are living at home, maybe with your parents, saving money. Others may be out in apartments or corporate living, brothers' houses. Oh, wow. Well, yeah, corporate. I always try to emphasize this with the brothers. Okay, you want to live in corporate living. You know, corporate living.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want to go live by yourself, actually that's a lot easier, brother. You want to live with others? You know what you pick up? You know what a responsibility you pick up by being in corporate living? You have to pick up a corporate consciousness. Wow. Now I need to take care of not just my conscience, not just my feeling. I got to take care of, wow, this brother, 8 brothers I lived with. This brother, that brother. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Well, I guess I was 8. I got to take care of all these brothers. I wouldn't offend them. I say sorry, right? Now, you know, but praise the Lord, I graduated from the brother's house 25 years ago. But now, oh, wow. I have to watch what I say. But I come over here. Sisters. Oh, brothers, you got it easy. Sorry, I probably just offended all the sisters. But anyway, the sisters, they're precious. But, you know, I told you that brother, I had to learn how to pray quietly. I had to lower my voice. That was a good training. So I could pray with my wife. Well, I'm, oh, Lord Jesus. My wife, well, she might leave the room. Tom, your voice does not feed my spirit. Right? I might hear it from my wife, right? I had to take care of her. Amen. Right? You know, sometimes, I think I can say this, brothers. I'll use Brother Lee's utterance. Sometimes there's an exchange of words in the marriage life, also known as argument. Right? At least that's how I translated those words. Brother Lee called it exchange of words. But you know what? Every time my wife and I have a disagreement, and we do have them, we've been together 25 years, we still even have them. You know, yeah, it's not easy. You know, they're two souls. Two souls. You think, come on, it's only two souls. Can't two get in harmony? Only in spirit. Only in spirit, right? In one spirit, with one soul, we strive together, right? But you know what? My conscience, every time I have a disagreement with my wife, my conscience is just so sensitized in my tone, in my word choice, and even in the timing of what I say. I don't always succeed. I mainly fail. And to be honest with you, Tom, I'm so exposed. I think, Tom, why does this bother you so much? You know, I like reason. But the female vessel is primarily an emotional. Is that okay, sisters? But it's really sweet. You know, my son's not here, so I think I can say this. I've received a lot more love from my three daughters. If I had three sons, I don't think they could match the love I've received from my three daughters, right? I always say, my daughters are sweet. All right, then the son is fun. But actually, my girls do pretty good. They like to do what I do. They like to go fishing, and you know, we go on bike rides. They like to hike, and you know, so they're not too dainty. You know, they're not. But I have realized, oh wow, I don't think I've ever, when my son, I did have to spank him some. And then eventually I realized. I remember the day, Tom, that's over. You know, he was of a certain age, and no more. That was very clear. But you know what? I never, Barbara, had to spank my daughters. Never. Yeah. Never. All I had to do was just look at them. And they melt. Very sensitive. Anyway, I'm getting off point. Oh, Lord Jesus. But I've learned, even when my wife, I have to be careful with my choice of words because I may offend my Lord. I may offend the Lord Jesus. Then I not only have a problem with my wife, now I've got a problem with my head because I misspoke. My tone was wrong. I overreacted. Oh, Lord Jesus. So you know what I have to do many times? Confess. Confess. Is taking care of your conscience elementary? Yes, but it's essential. If you want to be strengthened into your inner man, if you want to take care of your inner man, you have to take care of your conscience. Let me read a quote to you. This is found in a book by Andrew Murray. This is a dear brother who spent his whole life as a missionary. And anyway, I won't get into him, but he's if you're looking for a good biography, I would recommend it. Anyway, he said this about another great man of God named George Mueller. And I'll just read it from his Andrew Murray's book. Some of you have read the words of that aged saint who, on his 90th birthday, told of all God's goodness to him. I mean George Mueller. So he's talking about George Mueller. George Mueller was the one who raised up all those orphanages in England, never asking for money. And if you read his biographies, or his biography, his prayers, I forget the number of prayers he had answered, and the amount of money that moved through his hands. I think in today's economy, you could probably say millions. I love it. It moved through his hands. He didn't hang on to it, but he used it for God's interest. So this person, George Mueller, did it all by prayer, all by faith. He said, what did he say? This is still Andrew Murray speaking. What did he say? He believed, George Mueller believed, to be the secret of his happiness and of all the blessing which God had given him. He said, at 90 years of age, he said he believed there were two reasons. One of the reasons was that he had been enabled by God's grace to maintain a good conscience before God day by day.
Amen.
Day by day. Right? You know, I was walking out of a Home Depot. And, you know, Martin Luther said this. He says, you can't keep the birds. And he was referring to lust. Fleshly lust. He says, you can't keep the birds from flying around your head. But he said, you can keep them from making a nest.
Yeah.
I was walking out of a Home Depot, and the bird came. It's flying around my head. Oh, Lord Jesus. Another circumstance. You got a choice, right? Sometimes we fall into habits, and we just do our habits. But I was walking out of that Home Depot, and I had a choice. Am I going to let that bird land and build a nest? Or am I going to shoo it away? Shoo it away. And by a simple turning, I just inwardly, nobody knew I did it. Nobody knew I did it. But an inward turn, I was, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord. No to that thought. No to that thought. And in seconds, it's when, whoo, that bird was gone. It's amazing. Those lusts, they're just gone. With a little, no. Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm not for that. I'm higher than that. I'm a believer. I have an inner man. I want to turn to my inner man.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I want to pull my spirit out of death.
Amen.
I hate death. I don't want to be susceptible to death.
Amen.
I want to retreat back to my spirit.
Amen.
My spirit, I'm safe. In my spirit, I'm strong. Oh, wow. Within 10 feet, Kyle. Oh, wow. I was just liberated. Liberated. Another riches. Of one of those, another rich, how to say that? One of the unsearchable riches infused me.
Amen.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. And it was kind of funny. I thought, yeah, Satan. Inwardly, like, I said, thank you. That helped me. You thought you sent an evil bird to me. You did. But you know, Satan, that just proved God's wisdom. That gave me an opportunity to turn. Without that bird, I just would have walked to my car, my truck. Just, you know, I'm just another person going in and out of Home Depot. But oh, I was different. I was being strengthened into my inner man.
Yeah.
All right? Is the meeting life the only place to be strengthened into your inner man? I hope you all would learn in my daily life, when no one else is around, you can be strengthened into your inner man. The Father of glory, the Father will grant you to be strengthened with power into your inner man. But it does take a turn. It does take an exercise. It does take some, no, I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
I have an inner man, right? Anyway, I should finish George Mueller's quote. You might want to wonder what the second one was. But he took care of his conscience before God day by day. The other was, he said, he was a lover of God's word. A lover of God's word. May we all be lovers of God's word, right? So I hope you circle that first that. Right? If you don't mind writing in your Bible. The page of the Bible is not sacred. Right? You can write in your Bible, right? Okay. That. So Paul bows his knees and prays that the Father would strengthen us into our inner man. And yeah, Lord Jesus. And you know what? Let me just mention this too, because I think, you know, and Ken, you mentioned this some on Monday night, and I appreciate that. And that is the internet. Because it so much bombards us. It even bombards me. Right? I was just looking up. You know, I like to take my family on a yearly, annual kind of vacation. And I was searching for a place to go. And we were looking at some places in Florida this several years back. And, we were looking at the Keys of Florida. I'd never been there. I want to take my family there. Something we could do. And so I'm just, come on. I'm just looking at, you know, what do they call that last key? Key West. I was looking at Key West. You know, okay, if I take my family there, what are we going to do? I like to do things. And then sure enough, this thing pops up. You know how it works. It just, burr. I didn't ask for that. I wasn't looking for that. I didn't want that. And I was surely not going to get my family involved in that. But it's just, and it's designed. You know, I don't know how many have studied marketing. You know, marketing is designed to catch your eye. Not just by color, but by the shapes. And so many things. Okay, I didn't make the click. I didn't click on that dark thing. But I still got dirtied. And I still had to confess. Lord, just wash me. Wash me from that. That's just filthy. I didn't even know that was a thing there, but it is. It's a huge thing. And it's like I got soiled. Right? You know, just dirt. Right? Many things we need to confess. Right? I did want to mention to you Matthew 5. Because I think we want to make this practical. Right? We want to make this experiential. That this strengthened into the inner man is not just terminology. It's not just big vocabulary. But it's very real. And I hope it's real. It's real enough it can reach your bedroom. It's real enough it can reach your laptop. It's real enough it can reach your cell phone and how you use it. Right? So in Matthew 5, it's 23 and 24. Maybe I'd like you to hear it. Because I think... Again, I think it's good to hear the Word of God. There's just no substitute for hearing the Word. And that is in Matthew 5:23. I love this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar. Okay, you're offering the gift. What does that mean? You're a man. And you're offering something to God. You're offering a gift to God. Okay, you know, it's kind of Old Testament language. In the New Testament, we call that fellowship. You know, we don't offer a physical thing necessarily, but we're offering our fellowship, our prayer to God. And so the Lord says, therefore, if you are offering your gift, you're in a fellowship with God at the altar. And this is striking. And there you remember that your brother has something against you. Have you not had this experience? You're in a fellowship with God. You thought you were reading through. In fact, you wanted to read the whole chapter. But as you're there fellowshipping with God, there you remember, oh Lord Jesus, what did I say? What did I say to my mom? What did I say to my little sister? Whatever. I remember something. What should you do? What should you do? You want to be strengthened into your inner man. Should you just push through and try to have fellowship? What does it say? It says, let me read it. Leave your gift. In other words, stop the fellowship, if you know what I mean. Stop the fellowship. There, before the altar. And first, go and be reconciled to your brother. To your brother. Be reconciled to your brother. In other words, take care of it. Confess it. And make sure everything's at peace between you and your brother. And then come back and offer the gift. Wow. You know what? You take care of your conscience. Woo! Fellowship. Fellowship is flowing. The distribution in the economy of God is working again. The parcels are going out again. Right? The unsearchable riches of Christ are being dispensed again. Oh, hallelujah. You know what happens when you take care of your inner man and you're getting strengthened into your inner man? There's another that. There's another that here in the heart of the divine revelation. It's in verse 17. Why do I need to be strengthened into my inner man? Circle the second that. That Christ may make His home in your hearts through faith. Oh, wow. Isn't this your experience, Jason? When the unsearchable riches of Christ are infused into you. Oh, wow. You're just, woo! Lord, I'm just open. Oh, the gates of my heart are just open. Lord, fill me. And You are filling me. And he's just, oh, wow, my emotions change, my thoughts change, wow, my will changes, I make different choices. Oh, the meeting, yeah, the meeting. I'll go to the meeting, I want to go to the meeting. Right? I got infused with the unsearchable riches of Christ by taking care of my inner man. And there's an issue, there's a result, that Christ may make His home in your heart. Can't you all testify? Hasn't the Lord changed your love? I used to love da-da-da-da. Oh, but that my love list has changed. Right? Yeah, one time I despised the Bible. I didn't even like reading, let alone the Bible. Oh, but now I love reading. And I love the Bible. Amen. You know why? I've got infused. And I'm being infused with the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. And Christ makes home in your heart. Amen. That Christ may make home in your heart. Okay, there's another that. There's a third that. I got to take care of my time. Okay, so as Christ, as we're strengthened into the inner man, that there's an issue, there's an outcome. That Christ makes home in our heart through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love is a little parenthetical. Being, there's something going on. Your being, it's active and present. You're being rooted and grounded in love that you may be full of strength. Right? Isn't that the utterance? Full of strength to apprehend with all the saints. Okay, something's happened here. Okay. The first two that's mainly refer to you as an individual. I need to be strengthened into my inner man. I need to turn to the Lord. So I need to make the effort to come to the meeting, even when my soul doesn't want to come, right? And I come, I want to be strengthened. And I exercise to be strengthened, right? That Christ may make His home in my heart. But it doesn't stop there, right? There's a whole other dimension that opens up. And that is the apprehension of all the vast dimensions. Amen. The breadth, the length, the height, and the depth. I don't have time. But, Brandon, How vast is our Christ? Oh, he's too big. Too big. I just thought he used to be little narrow Christ, my Savior. Well, I'll leave for my Savior. But sometimes some people just make a one-liner out of that their whole life. And that's all they know. Well, praise the Lord, they know that. But it's just a one line. Christ is my Savior. Christ is my Savior. And that's Christ is my Savior. But wow. You know what else my Christ is? My bread. Oh, what a breath. Cody, I haven't run out of bread yet. Right? The breath. I haven't found. There's no limit to this bread. The dimension, right? And then there's the height of Christ. High experiences of Christ. I hope you all have many high. I hope this is a high experience of Christ, right? And then there's the depths of Christ, right? The Lord takes you through things. Anyway, I don't have time. But you can, you know, as we're strengthened into our inner man and Christ is making home in our heart, we begin to apprehend. Wow, yeah, brother, I know what you're talking about. I know what it is to eat the bread of life. I know what it is to drink the water of life. I'm not just a one-liner, right? I don't just read the Bible. You know what? I also preach the gospel, right? I also not only preach the gospel, but I also shepherd people, right? Right? We want to, our experiences of Christ should be a cube, not a one line. When's a cube knocked over? Can you knock over a cube? Can you knock over a cube, Marty? It's the same on all six sides. Right? 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 This should be our experience of Christ. You're never knocked out. You're apprehending with all the saints. And praise the Lord for the church life, because it enlarges you. I think I'm enlarging you tonight. Sorry. But we need to be enlarged. We need to have a vast Christ. But I need the saints. Right? Jefferson, you got Christ I don't have. Scott, you got experiences I don't have. Dave, you have experiences, but I need to know them. Right? I want to apprehend with all the saints. And to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ. Then there's one more that. Yeah. That you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Brother, Nathan, it all starts, you know. It's all like throwing a rock in a pond, right? Something has to hit the water. You know what that is? That's being strengthened into your inner man. That's that little turn as you walk across your campus. That's your little turn to the Word before you go to bed. That's your little confession of what seemed to be so small, but you don't want your fellowship to be lost, right? It's your pulling yourself out of death. I hate death. I want to be in life, Lord. That strengthening into the inner man has ripples through your personal life. And it has ripples into the church life. It will, you know what it does? It will have Christ make home in your heart. You'll apprehend with all the saints, the vast dimensions of Christ, until you are, the church is, filled with the fullness of God. You know what you call that? Church. That's the church. That's the church. U.S. News and World Report, that's how you do it. You need to know, you need to get the revelation of the mystery. You need to get the unveiling of the economy of God. You need to experience all the vast dimensions and unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. Personally and corporately. And it will produce the church. Amen. Thus there's glory in the church, right? I think I'm pretty much out of time. But I think I pretty much covered Roman numeral 3. Rose, is that okay? Yeah. But are you encouraged?
Amen.
Are you encouraged to exercise your spirit?
Amen.
In your daily life?
Amen.
Take care of your conscience?
Amen.
Take care of our fellowship with the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, and look for opportunities. Challenge the Lord. Lord, here's a circumstance. Here's a circumstance. Yeah. Lord, be real to me. I want the unsearchable riches. I want to experience it in this situation. I believe the Lord will meet you. He's the life-giving Spirit. We just got to learn how to apply. We need lots of application, not more knowledge. I hope you didn't get knowledge tonight, but I hope you got inspired to apply. Look for opportunities. Don't despise your circumstances. They're an opportunity to experience the unsearchable riches of Christ and produce the church. Wow, that'll be a rich church. That won't be a bankrupt church. I told that brother. Brother, professional and bankrupt. No riches. No riches. But my, may we all be involved with another kind of building. Amen. The building up of a church that's glory to God, right?